It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the inner west. The inner west. Sorry about the delay in the echo tonight. We have had a couple of technical glitches. Isn't that right, co-host Gary Stark?
Yes, good evening, everybody. We've had a couple of technical issues that I've needed to deal with before we came on air, and it left me about 1 minute to get myself fully set up.
And you did really well, except for that whole glitch thing
before. Yeah, just a minor thing. I know exactly what it was that does it. And
that was the worst form of parody glitching you could have just did. Right? Was it,
what?
Yeah, that's a lot better.
Okay.
Welcome to the
Gadget
Grill.
Yeah, good evening. Welcome to the Gadget Grill. Go ahead.
No, you can go ahead. It's okay.
Okay,
you know.
Well, you know, you're going to tell us what we're doing tonight.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Gadget Grill. My name is Lee Stark, and opposite me is Gary Stark. And tonight, we are talking about...
We're just going to continue doing intros.
Yeah, right. tonight it's all the intro show. Tonight, we're going to be saying, hi, my name is Lee Stark, and you're listening to the Gadget Grill over and over again for next... We're seriously not going to do that.
Absolutely
I think
not.
That would be career suicide, and since this isn't a career, that would just be suicide, and I don't think cults are approved of in most places of the world.
No.
So, tonight, what we're actually talking about is a very important topic that's all a bunch of crap. Yes, that's right, I said that right then. It's all a bunch of crap. No, it's not all a bunch of crap, but it sounds like it is. Tonight we're talking about this topic. Will computers destroy us all? That sounds great with the echo, doesn't it? That's really
good.
Cool. Do you do it again?
Yeah, do that again.
You ready? Are you turning the echo up?
Okay. Well, I haven't got any control over the echo.
Will computers destroy us all? That's good. That's kind of cool. That's what we're talking about tonight, because we were invited a couple of weeks ago to hear a few intelligent people, some not so intelligent, but some intelligent people speak at something called the Singularity. And it's a question of what the Singularity is, and apparently it's about possibly the imminent death of all of us. So tonight we'll be hearing from one of those people who we got to listen to, a guy named Tim Dean, who seemed to know his stuff and was quite humorous at the same time. We've also got some news, lots of bits of news coming up. And I'm sure we can dig up a useless gadget.
Could we find some olds as well?
We could probably find some olds, especially the way you're handling glitches tonight. I'm pretty sure we can. And we've actually got a gadget in the studio tonight, which is pretty fitting for the place we're in, actually, considering that it's a music device. Hey, it's not a camera device for once on the Gadget Grill. That's kind of cool. So that's coming up on the show. We also have to announce that this is going to be a very Beatles-themed show. Because you can announce this now, because I don't know this.
Well, yesterday happened to be the 40th anniversary of the shooting of the photo on the cover of the Beatles' Abbey Road album. And in terms of photography, that's fairly significant, because it's a rather significant photo. Everybody would be familiar with it. And in terms of music, it's a very significant photo, because that is apparently the top-selling Beatles LP of all time.
Mm.
So we thought we'd perhaps play a little bit of Beatles music.
Yeah,
today.
And considering we're talking tonight about computers possibly destroying us all, we thought we'd start with a revolution. So this is
Before we get to the revolution, of course.
Sorry, well, you're no fun.
Yeah, I know. You notice on the cover of Abbey Road there is a white VW Beetle.
Really?
In the background, yeah.
Didn't know that. Can I do my whole Will Computers Destroy thing again?
Well, you can do Will VW Beetles Destroy the World, if
Will VW Beetles Volkswagen Beetles Destroy Us All? Find out after Beetles Revolution next!
Or even...
Now.
You've been working hard all morning and now it's time to relax for lunch. What better place than with your pals in the shed? And what better shed than the one right here on Tuesdays on 2RDJ between 1 and 3?
So please come and join Peter Worthington, that was him, and me, Gary Stark. We're your pals in the shed on 2RDJ FM 88.1.
And don't forget your lunch.
It's It's the Gadget Grill on 88.1 Radio 2RDJ. How are my levels there? Are they better now?
That's a lot better.
That's a lot better. I apologize if I blew out your ears before. I might.
No, you don't.
No, I really don't. Maybe I could do our entire intro sequence on that section in that voice. Should I try it?
Try
it. No,
next week.
No, next week? Don't do it this week?
No, next week will be much more appropriate.
What, with... oh, yes, of course, the 50s. Yes. Yeah, the 60s show. Oh, sure. You're listening to 88.1 Radio 2RDJ.
You've got to wear bell bottoms next week, too.
I don't have bell bottoms. I wasn't around back then. Thank God.
You've got to get yourself an old pair.
No, thank you.
In tan.
No, thank you. I'm quite fine in my modern clothing. I don't want to look like you. Okay, hippie. All right, hippie, shut up, okay? You're listening to 88.1 Radio 2RDJ, The Gadget Grill. If you are listening to us on a radio and you just had your ears blown out by me going, "Will robots destroy us all?" I apologize. Next time, try listening to us on www.radio2rdj.com with the online stream. The same effect will probably happen, but it'll happen in a nicer digital way.
And you can, or not.
Yeah. You can also hit us up at www.gadgetgrill.com.au to listen to this show and any of the other 35-odd shows we've done so far, because we've done a lot of shows so far.
We've done a lot of shows, and to describe them as odd shows is absolutely correct.
Absolutely. So let's get into some news.
Okay, you can start.
I don't want to start. You can start.
Okay. Scientists at Stanford Research Institute.
Okay, in America.
Have found an innovative design for OLEDs, organic light-emitting diodes, that makes use of cavities which enhances their luminosity and energy efficiency. The device, called a COLED, where the C stands for cavity, was designed by Dr. Yijian Shi, and it employs a...
Can you say that name again, please?
Yijian Shi.
Thank you.
And employs a regular pattern of cavities, implementing a structure that generates as much as 5 times the light output of a standard OLED per watt consumed, depending on the colour being displayed. That's pretty interesting, isn't it?
Let's go to something completely non-interesting or uninteresting. Microsoft have released their chart for if you want to move from Windows XP or Vista to Windows 7. And it is such a tablecloth, it actually makes our voting system look usable. Because...
No hanging chads?
No, well, put it this way. If you have Windows XP or Windows Vista Starter, you're screwed. You have to buy it and do a custom install. And, you know, the custom install basically means install from scratch. That's the nice way of saying everything goes. But it gets really awkward because if you have... It's like a checkerboard if you look at it. So if you have Windows Vista Ultimate 32 or 64, you can't actually go to Windows 7 Home or Premium upgrades. You have to... You can only go to, straight to Windows 7 Ultimate. It's just all over the place and disturbing, and I wonder why Microsoft even did this. And why didn't they make it possible for Windows 7 RC users to upgrade?
If you're running OS X, of course, then there's only one version. Much easier.
It is much easier.
Much easier. Speaking of OS X, and seeing as how you've just done a Windows story.
I did just do a Windows story, didn't I?
I have got 3 different Apple stories, and these are all iPhone-related stories.
Worrying.
Let's go. Yeah. The first one is, of course, that it's been a nasty week for iPhone users. There's been problems with AT&T and Google and iPhone with the Google Voice, with the FCC asking
we reported on that last
Apple
week.
And AT&T for stuff, for information about possible anti-competitive stuff.
Yep.
On your iPhone, I've seen an article that suggests that apps on your iPhone are mayhem.
Mayhem.
Mayhem. Let me just read you this. When the iPhone had a couple of hundred apps available, you responded by downloading a handful.
Yep.
Now there's 50,000 of them, and you've responded by downloading approximately 30,000 of them.
Yep.
The problem is you don't...
My hard drive.
The problem is you don't delete your superfluous ones.
Yep.
They're what make the iPhone the iPhone, but you don't want to trip over getting to them either. And you don't want to trip over getting to, for instance, important stuff like the camera. The organizational system for apps on the iPhone
is going to change
terrible.
Soon. There's an iTunes 9 upgrade coming soon. I'm not sure if you're reporting on this in your stories, but apparently it's going to have better iPhone app support for organization, which I've been saying should have been there in 8 because it's impossible to use Apple.
Yes. There's a rumor that the next iTunes revision is going to include the better organisation options for your iPhone, iPod apps. And it's also, this is a rumour, going to include Blu-ray support.
Yes, because you have to understand what can be currently be done on a Mac is that you can burn using Blu-ray in Final Cut. You
exactly.
have to use an external or a drive, you know,
external
by someone
drive.
Else.
But you cannot read the.
You can't actually read them on a Mac. So you can burn on a Mac. You can't play back on a Mac. You have to play back on either a PC or a set-top unit. So Macs are sort of sitting there going, "Yeah, we don't need this right now." Which I guess is going to change. A lot of people like Samsung and even Western Digital have basically come out and said in the past, I'm pretty sure, and I know Western Digital and Seagate have said it, I've heard Samsung say it as well, so I don't want to get myself sued there, but a lot of people have said that Blu-ray isn't going to last long, especially when you've got things like hard drives taking over the mix. And Blu-ray is now fighting a battle in China against their own high-definition format, and it will, it could potentially lose that battle, considering that I think this format's slightly cheaper.
Right, right. Well, the final story that I got on the iPhone is that there is a new iPhone application that will tell you where you can find marijuana growers.
That sounds really useful. Well, why don't you promote that on our show, Dad? That's thanked. You want to get me thrown off the air? Is that what you're trying to do right now?
Approved by Apple in mid-July, the cannabis application offers maps to your nearest medicinal pot growers and dispensaries.
Uh-huh. Is it going to offer directions to the set of weeds?
Marijuana lawyers and even pro-marijuana political groups.
Uh-huh.
Apple reportedly approved the cannabis application because it only points to medical suppliers. Currently, 13 states of the US, including Nevada and California, have laws that make medicinal marijuana legal.
Which explains why weed takes place in a California state.
Yes.
If we're going to go from something organic, let's talk about this new phone that Samsung have come out with in cooperation with Sprint in America.
Sure.
It's called the Reclaim. It's made from corn.
So you can have it for breakfast.
I don't think you can. I think I've had this debate with the guys at Linksys before that I could conceivably eat the box that their stuff came out of. And yes, I could, but it would taste bad.
A bit like your cooking.
This is cool. No, my cooking's okay, thank you very much. It's gotten a lot better since that last time you ate.
Okay.
I think I was actually trying to poison you that time.
Oh.
The Reclaim is made from 80% recycled materials, and it is constructed out of bioplastic materials made from corn. Has no PVC in it. It's mostly free of something called brominated flame retardants.
BFR
for short. And this phone actually has 2-megapixel camera, stereo Bluetooth. It can support up to 32 gig of microSD. Has the ability to take Sprint navigation. I assume that's some sort of GPS that we don't use in this country. It's actually, the packaging is also eco-friendly. It's printed with soy-based ink. $2 of the profit that they make off it will be put into the Nature Conservancy's Adopt a Naked program.
Is that $2 off the profit of the whole production run?
Yeah. I don't know, possibly.
I would say it's $2. I'd hope it's $2 for each unit.
Yeah, it's probably $2 for each unit. Anyway, it looks kind of cool. I'd love to get one in. It probably wouldn't work in this country, but the concept of a phone, you know, being that eco-friendly just looks like it's a great idea. More companies should be doing this.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Don't die while you read your news story.
In the UK, the government has spent billions and billions on their national ID card, and then they forgot to distribute readers for it.
Oh, that's problematic.
Yeah, it gets worse.
Oh.
There's another bump on that particular road, and the security about the private information held on those cards is such that a hacker with a phone and a laptop has cloned the card within a few minutes and then wrote new content onto it. I am a terrorist. Shoot on sight.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah.
Imagine
if that showed up on the checkpoint scanner while you're going through customs.
Wait, you mean it doesn't show up for you already?
Well, imagine if that showed... Well, for me, yeah. Okay. Yeah, guess it's lucky that they don't have the scanners yet.
Speaking of screw-ups, a guy in Florida, did you hear about this guy? Guy in Florida named Keith Griffin.
Oh, yeah, I think this. I know which one this
one
is.
Yeah, yeah. A guy in Florida named Keith Griffin was
only
in America. Was picked up by the cops the other week. And he had child pornography in his computer. We will say here at the Gadget Grill, no one in the world should support child pornography. It's a horrible, horrible thing, and people should probably be going to jail for this.
Absolutely.
This guy actually came up with an interesting answer for why there was child pornography on his computer. You see, apparently, his cat, this really nice, cute cat of his, jumped on his keyboard while he was downloading music. I don't know whether that's legal or not. Apparently, he left the room, and when he came back, he found strange things on his computer. Strange children with no clothes on and
kiddie porn.
Maybe it's kitty porn. Maybe we're all getting it wrong. And he was arrested not for kiddie porn, but for kitty porn.
Perhaps.
You know, perhaps it's something like that. Am I going over the top of levels again?
Just a little bit. Just adjusting
I'll pull slightly. Myself back a little bit because I'm very excited today because of the song that's coming up in the next thing. I like to torture you.
We're not quite there.
Luckily for you. I have there's a gadget that's coming out for Guitar Hero fanboys everywhere. You know the game where you get your guitar and you plug it in, your fake guitar, and you plug it in and you play songs pretending to be a rock star and whatnot. You know that game.
Yeah.
You've seen me waste 20 hours of my life on it a week before.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, someone has made this thing that works with the Wii, and you plug it in to your regular guitar, like your Fender Strat or your Ibanez or whatnot, and it works with your Nintendo Wii, and then you can play the actual strings and use the frets to actually play the game. But there's an interesting catch, because Guitar Hero is a fake guitar.
Yep.
The Guitar Hero game has a fake guitar, so not only is it not designed for 6 strings, it only has 5 buttons, it doesn't have as many frets.
For those people who have 7 fingers on their hands.
Yes, it also lacks the amount of frets. It's a much smaller scale, like a Gibson SG, I guess.
A Gibson SG is not that small. Maybe like a kiddie.
Yeah, like a kiddie guitar, not a kitty guitar, a kiddie guitar. Yes,
right, you can download these in Florida.
You can get the kitty guitar. It does great wah-wah. This thing coming out, and it's called the Open Chord. So if you've been looking for a way to play your Strat or your whatever...
Well, playing Open Chord is quite a normal way of playing.
It's one of the blues tunes. This is called the Open Chord. It's a gadget for your Wii and for Guitar Hero and assumably for Rock Band and whatever that will let you play your real guitar with your fake game, and because it's not been designed in the same way, every note you play will sound awful. So at least you'll be getting the real experience of being a crappy guitarist.
Okay, so this is sort of like air guitar for...
It's like proper air guitar, but with a real guitar, so people can really... People can hear just how bad they would sound.
Oops.
Yeah.
Japanese noodle shop is using 2 robots to create perfect bowls of ramen.
Speaking of which, I've got one right now.
Yes. They have this particular ramen shop has 2 robotic arms that work in sync to create up to 800 bowls of noodles on a busy day.
And they play games with each other, don't they?
Yeah, the robots ladle the broth, boil the noodles, toss it in, sprinkle toppings. Takes about 1 minute 40 seconds for a bowl of ramen. And if they've got nothing better to do, they'll have sword fights knife fights with one another.
That's really cool. I want them to throw knives at each other. We saw the vision of that this week, and we'll have to link that because it was really funny to watch. They look a lot like they're the sort of robots that came out of a car factory and have been refunctioned for this. But programming them with humor was really a cool idea because it really, you know, it's entertaining to watch and listen to while you're eating.
Only in Japan.
Yeah. And speaking of something that could only happen in Japan, we're going to listen to something now that could only happen in America during the 70s. Only possibly could happen in the 70s. If you're familiar at all with Captain Kirk from the Enterprise, or the guy on what's his name on The Practice or no, Boston Legal?
I
don't know his name. Danny Craig. Danny Craig. Danny if you're Crane. Familiar with Danny Craig at all, Danny Crane. Then you will know this voice because this is a young William Shatner with a Beatles track, Lucy in the. Is it Strawberry Fields or Lucy in the Sky?
Lucy in the Sky.
Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Jazz. It's not for everybody.
For everybody, it's for
better than that.
People.
Whether your taste is trad, blues, straight ahead, hard bop, bebop, New Orleans funk, or Afro-Cuban, we play it for you. Every weekday, 11 till 1. Here on Radio 2 RDJ FM 88.1 or on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com.
It's the Gadget Grill, live on 88.1, Radio 2RDJ, the voice of the Inner West. God, it feels good to say that again. You know,
That again.
You're listening to The Gadget Grill with Lee and Gary Stark. And right now we're going to get into our main topic because it's confusing enough as it is.
I'm confused.
Yeah, you haven't even heard anything about it. We were invited a few weeks ago to attend this thing with a bunch of people and stuff. It was about science.
Yes.
Science and stuff. I actually want a free subscription to a magazine from it, which is kind of nice.
Very good.
Anyway, we were invited to this, and we were going to talk about this thing, or hear people talk about this thing called the singularity. And the singularity is more of a science fiction terminology, or sort of like a cross between both science and fiction. And the idea is, what will happen, or what could happen, if computers start to become smarter than humans? I mean, what do you think could happen?
Well, I don't think it's possible for computers to become smarter than humans.
No?
No. Computers always need to have a person to drive them.
So what about artificial intelligence? If you create
I've seen a lot of artificial intelligence, and I'm not going to take that discussion any
further. No, probably not. Not in this studio, you shouldn't. No. we were there, and, actually you weren't there. I was there with one of our other new reporters, Ross, who will be writing reviews for us nicely.
Yes.
We were there listening to it, this is from a guy named Tim Dean. I'm just going to read from his Twitter quickly, because to give you an idea of who Tim Dean is, he's the editor of Australian Life Scientist.
To Tim Dean or not to Tim Dean? That is the question.
No, that was a really bad joke, actually. Okay. Tim Dean is the editor of Australian Life Scientist, and he's also a curry fanatic. That makes him really perfect for this topic. Anyway, this is what he had to say, or some of the things he had to say anyway.
I should play that.
Yeah, you should
I?
Play that clip right now.
Okay, let's do that.
I'm going to kick off by putting a bit of a dampener on things, I'm afraid. By just kind of trying to bring some of our expectations back into line with reality. Not to downplay the significance of artificial intelligence, not to downplay the significance of biotechnology, something I'm particularly interested in, and the future of the potential for all these things with humanity. But let's just have a little bit of a think about this thing called the singularity and see not only whether it is possible, but whether it's the kind of thing we might even want to have. Now, I've got a couple of quotes to kind of explain in some more detail what the singularity is and what the singularitarians would like it to be. This comes from the father, or one of the fathers of the singularity, Werner Vinge. He says, he wrote actually in 1993, he wrote, within 30 years, so that's 2023, we will have the technological means to create superhuman intelligence. Shortly after, the human era will be ended. There's another quote that I've got from another chap, Anders Sandberg, who's a futurist and transhumanist. And he talks about the transhumanism movement, which is tied to the singularity, this idea of becoming bigger and better things than the fleshy, weird things that we evolved as being. He says, its essence is, in my opinion, that we humans can and should continue to develop ourselves in all possible directions. The bodies and minds evolution have given us a wonderful, but far from perfect. They can be improved in many ways, and this can be done in a rational manner using science and technology. In the same way, many other parts of the human condition, in scare quotes, may be changed through new methods and visions. In the long run, we will no longer be human anymore, but post-human beings. So let's just say for a moment it's possible. Let's just see what this utopia might be like. Let's say we can create super intelligent machines that are far more intelligent than any of us. Now, here's a quote about the prospect of what this could mean. It comes straight from a singularitarian. This comes from a singularity blog. It says, consider the problems we face today and those we might face tomorrow. Global warming, asteroids and comets planning to say hello to the Earth, pandemics, the imminent collapse of the Medicare system, which I think is a uniquely American kind of catastrophe, the shrinking US dollar. At the moment, we have no solutions to these and many other problems, and there is no one smart enough around to come up with the solution. There's no one smart enough around to come up with the solution to climate change, to come up with the solution to the collapse of the Medicare system. Well, I don't know if that's entirely true. I think this kind of stems from something that Albert Einstein said a long time ago. He said, the problems that exist in the world today cannot be solved by the level of thinking that created them. But let's have a little bit of a think. Here we have a super intelligent machine. Let's just road test it. Let's give it Israel. I wonder, and perhaps it's my lack of superintelligence that means that I can't figure this out, I wonder what could possibly be said to the Israelis and to the Palestinians that will make them say, oh, the answer's been there all along. Why didn't we think of that? There we go, every solution to the problem. Let's just embrace, hug, and everything's going to be wonderful again. There are some anti-singularitarians who call this thinkism, this idea that problems are all problems of reason, that problems are just problems that require more intelligence to solve. I don't know if that's true. I think there are a lot of problems where we actually already know the solution. It's just a solution that nobody wants to take. Let's take climate change. We don't have the solution to climate change, apparently, because nobody's smart enough to figure it out. Well, I think we know what we need to do. It's just something we don't particularly want to do. And we get into these kind of things like, if anyone's familiar with economics and game theory, the prisoner's dilemma, which is like it's like a game of chicken. Two cars hurtling towards each other, the one that pulls away first loses the game. But if nobody pulls away, well, you both lose. And it's the same kind of thing with climate change. It's not that hard to figure it out. You don't need the superintelligence to say the country that goes first and cuts their emissions is going to end up having a competitive disadvantage to the other countries around the world, so there's an inclination not to do it. Superintelligence is going to say that, probably, maybe, I don't know. But if it does, we're going to go, well, okay, yeah, so convince us. How are you going to convince us to do something we don't want to do? I don't think these are kind of problems that more intelligence is going to solve. Anyway, look, in the spirit of kind of, goodwill, let's say it can. Let's say we can. Let's then ask the question, are these the kind of problems that superintelligences are going to want to solve? How do we know that superintelligent machines are going to be benign? How do we know they're even going to want to help us? How do we know they're not just going to want to squish us under their giant
How they know they're going to squish us under their giant mechanical feet. Sorry, we faded out too there. And how do we know that? We don't.
That's the point, we don't.
That's the problem with the singularity. Head to our website, www.gadgetgirl.com.au, and leave us a comment telling us what you think is going to happen in the future. I mean, it's the problem with the singularity. It's all one giant piece of...
singularity.
Of theory. It's all a lot of theory and hoo-la and stuff like that.
I think we should probably just let it be.
We probably should. This is Beetlejazz with Let It Be. Radio 2RDJ. This is the Gadget Crew with Lee and Gary Stark, and right now we're going to get into one of our world famous, not so world famous, gadget reviews, because in with me this week as part of one of my...
Hold it up to the microphone so they can see.
Exactly. It's called the Korg Nano Key, and it's unlike any device you've probably ever seen before, because you're on the radio and you can't hear a single thing or can't see a single thing where it's showing up, and I'm actually trying to get it working right now. It is a... bus-powered, USB bus-powered, as opposed to a Sydney Transit bus-powered, keyboard in terms of piano for your computer. And it's actually a synthesizer, so you can carry it with you and take it, basically take it on the go and make music and go to gigs and play things. And it's built off of a laptop sort of keyboard, so it's lightweight, simple, and it's a piano, by the way. Should I mention that part? It's a piano.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. When you showed it to me, it immediately piked my interest as being a very lightweight...
Piked? I thought you meant picked. Isn't it piked? I thought it was piked or peaked.
No.
Oh.
Piked my interest and, because it looks like just a small keyboard, musical-style keyboard, two and a half octaves, I think it's got.
It can actually do three octaves each way.
But you can shift the octaves by, I guess, an octave in each direction or in octave increments in each direction by up to three different shifts.
I think it's a 25-key keyboard.
Is that okay? Let me just hold it towards me for a second. Two octaves.
Two octaves. Okay.
But,
We'd play it for you, but I've been trying to get Ableton working for the past 10 minutes, and I'm not getting very far. Note to self, do not try running this on a netbook. It is completely not designed for it.
No.
Make sure you have at least a laptop. To be honest, this has been designed, you can see it, for the MacBooks. It's the same size, relative.
Yeah.
It's cool, it's lightweight, it's very easy to use. It's not too expensive. $120, I guess.
$120 is quite reasonable for what it is.
Mm, and, especially it's made by Korg.
And the sort of stuff that you've been playing and pulling out of it.
We got the Hammond sounding nice on it.
The Hammond was a lot of fun, throwing in the B4.
We'll try and get this working for you guys next week so you can hear it, because it does sound good. It's one of those things that you
kind of... And next week will be entirely appropriate for
absolutely. So I must get this working this week. You know, I'll try and compose something for then.
That's a good idea.
Until then,
at the very worst, we can bring in the MacBook and run it off the MacBook.
At the very worst, we could bring in a real Hammond and play that.
Do you want to carry it up the stairs?
No, I don't. Okay. Can I instead imagine that we can?
I think that you should.
This is a perfect circle with the John Lennon version. This is Imagine, believe it or not. Radio 2 RDJ. This is the Gadget Guru with Lee and Gary Stark in full stereo 3D. And you're coming up to the last leg of our show.
Say you're cutting up the last leg?
Yeah, you're cutting it up. We've got Dexter and a couple other serial killers, and we're seriously cutting up the last leg of the show.
Cool.
We're going to mention something. Speaking of cutting, nice segue there. Was it accidental or intentional?
Oh, I'm good.
I don't know if you are.
No, I'm not.
The Chef Stack Automatic Pancake Machine. It's a giant... Well, it's not really a giant. So it's a largish machine. It looks sort of like a conveyor belt, and it... cranks out pancakes. Now, it's not designed for home use because it costs $3,500.
I'll take two.
Yeah, I thought you would. Because it makes 200 pancakes an hour.
200 pancakes an hour.
Yeah, 200 pancakes an hour, roughly.
Why would you want to make 200 pancakes an hour?
Well, say you're a restaurant like the International House of Pancakes, and you wanted to get rid of your chefs. I mean, this is a great way of doing it.
Okay.
Apparently, it's easy to clean. Who knew? But it makes only pancakes. Lots and lots and lots of pancakes. What happens if you want a crepe? Or,
Oh, that'll be crepey.
Yeah. Wow. at least you're getting better. Your jokes are not coming as fast and quick and...
That's been a slow day.
Has been a slow day for you, thank God. Next week, what are we doing next week?
Well, before we get to next week, I've got a measuring cup.
Oh, do you?
Yes.
What are you measuring?
Cooking... stuff,
okay.
Cooking measurements, because you started off on the cooking thing.
That's true, I did.
Yeah, so this is a measuring cup with a backlit LCD on the handle, and the LCD tells you the exact volume of the liquid that you're measuring.
Are people really that fussy with their cooking, really?
Well, if you need accurate measurement, then this will help you do that.
Whatever happened to the whole romantic gesture of cooking, where you just put a pinch in, a little carp, you know?
Well, that's how I do it, you know, a pinch here, a carp there. That was fishy, I'm sorry.
Oh, two and the one.
Next week.
Oh, just get on the next week, please,
next
before
week.
I die.
Well, next week happens to be the anniversary of a very, very special event that seems to figure a lot in my life. I don't know about yours so much.
No, probably not so much in mine.
But certainly a lot in my life, and there's a lot of things in my life that center around this event.
And we are talking, of course, about?
We're talking about Woodstock.
Woodstock. And to take the show out, well, next week we're talking about Woodstock and about how technology has changed in music since then, because there have been quite a few advancements in amplifiers and guitars and all sorts of things.
Recording especially.
Mm-hmm. So next week we're talking about that. To take you out tonight, we're not playing some Beatles. We're actually playing another person who shares the name of, shares the first name of John Lennon's wife, Yoko. This is Yoko Kanno from the Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex 2 soundtrack. This is Ride On Technology, because...
that's what we talk about.
That's pretty much what we talk about, yeah. So, Ride On, Australia. We'll see you next week.
See you on the Gadget Grill, 9 p.m. on 2RDJ, FM 88.1, next Sunday.
Have a good week, Australia.